Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus with this Hurricane Sandy report. As the storm, called everything from Frankenstorm to Superstorm to a 100-year occurrence in the days leading up to its arrival last night in southern New Jersey, now batters the Midwest, deviating from its once-predicted track, it has been reclassified as a post-tropical cyclone. The nomenclature will make little difference when you consider the damage it has caused, including several deaths along the East Coast. And to the millions of Americans who lost power, from Delaware to Michigan and throughout the WAMC listening area, the storm is quickly passing into all-too-real myth. Considered together, the facts are simply staggering. The storm came ashore with winds of 80 miles per hour. The U.S. death toll includes at least 16 people in several states and is expected to rise. Up to 7.5 million customers nationally lost electricity. Large areas of New York City are underwater, and the streets are eerily dark. Hospitals have had to remove patients to find safer footing. The stock market closed for a second day. Many schools are still shuttered. Thousands of residents have been moved out in places like New Jersey, where a large section of the Atlantic City boardwalk is now gone. President Obama has declared a major disaster in New York City and Long Island, and as far away as Chicago, residents are being told to avoid the shores of Lake Michigan. Rail travel is halted, and the New York City airports remained closed this morning. National Guard troops were hard at work in several states. Even the indomitable presidential campaign became an afterthought. And as News Channel 13 meteorologist Paul Caiano put it, it's not even over yet.
We're on the northeast quadrant of the storm, and we're still getting numerous showers rotating in from the Atlantic Ocean across interior New York and New England, some of those showers containing heavier bursts of rain. And while the winds have come down from their maximum speeds yesterday across the region, we're still looking for potential wind gusts to exceed 40, maybe even 50 miles per hour.
Closer to home, high winds downed trees and knocked out power. But some of the WAMC listening area appears to have been spared just a year after taking the brunt of Irene and Lee. Not so everywhere. More than 100,000 NYSEG customers woke up without power this morning, including 30,000 in Westchester and Putnam counties, 21,000 in Sullivan County, and 7,000 in Dutchess County. Poughkeepsie suffered record floods. Ulster County was finally set to lift travel restrictions at noon. That, according to Ulster County Executive Mike Hine.
We have travel restrictions and a state of emergency still in effect, though we do expect to lift them at noon today. County office buildings, as well as all of the schools, including the community college, remain closed today as a precautionary measure, and we expect everything to be open, starting opening of business tomorrow, including bus service at 5 a.m.
Meanwhile, the National Weather Service has issued a wind advisory for east-central New York and western New England until 6 tonight, and there could be gusts of up to 55 miles per hour in higher elevations today. That means more trees and wires could come down, adding to the list of outages. There was also a flood warning issued for the Hudson River in Albany. For some storm perspective, I reached out to Chris Thorncroft, chair of the University at Albany Department of Atmospheric and Environmental Sciences, a man who's gotten little sleep over the past few days.
In the end, how did Hurricane Sandy live up to the expectations that we saw throughout the week, and what happened with this storm throughout yesterday into the overnight hours?
I think it did live up to expectations, certainly on the East Coast, where it made landfall. But as background, let me emphasize that this was a very special event. It was a Category 2 hurricane moving up the coast. And what made this special was it was quite an intense cyclone. It moved over some relatively warm water for the time of year. But it had a really strong interaction with a high-latitude or mid-latitude trough. And that had a couple of impacts on the hurricane. It helped to intensify the hurricane. It also managed to spread out the area of strong winds over a much wider area than otherwise would have taken place with a hurricane. And perhaps even more important than that, it actually managed to, through this interaction, steer the hurricane directly towards the coast. Before that interaction, the hurricane would have been heading out towards the ocean, where it obviously wouldn't have caused any trouble. So basically, the eastern coast had a direct hit. So over a wide area. So one of the most important things in terms of New York City last night was the storm surge. The landfall was somewhere in New Jersey, and on the northern side of that, there's a strong wind blowing from east to west towards the coast. that has the effect of piling up the water towards the land, which led to those very high storm surges in Manhattan and Long Island, and causing a lot of the damage down there. What was interesting about the storm, partly because of its size and the interaction between the hurricane and the mid-latitude trough, was the cold air coming down on the southern side or the southwest side. And that led to snowfall in the Appalachians and Virginia. So we had, you know, tropical storm, hurricane winds at landfall, storm surge, snowfall in the Appalachians. So clearly a lot of problems in the eastern seaboard, Manhattan, a lot of problems. That did, I think, live up, if that's the right word, to expectations.
There's so much hyperbole involved in a situation like this. So just how rare is a storm like the one we've seen?
This is very rare. This coming together of the right track of the hurricane interacting with the mid-latitude trough to give you this widespread area of strong winds directly hitting in a perpendicular sense, if you like, the coastline is quite rare. It's a coming together of those two storms at the right time is not something that happens very frequently, thankfully.
What are your expectations for the rest of the track of the storm?
I think it's forecast to move steadily northeast over the next couple of days. Certainly going to be weakening. It's already weakened quite a lot now. There will be chances of some heavy local rainfall, so we should be looking out for that. There's always, whenever there's heavy rainfall, there may be some strong gusts still. We're in upstate New York here, but we're expecting spotty showers now. So we're through the worst, if you like.
That's Chris Thorncroft, Chair of the Department of Atmospheric and Environmental Sciences at the University at Albany. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
In Connecticut, shelters were open across the state as shoreline municipalities found themselves joining with the Long Island Sound as one, and more than 600,000 people were without power. At 8 this morning, Governor Danielle Malloy lifted the driving ban on state highways, but warned drivers to use caution and not to drive through standing water or around downed wires. And officials across state lines warned drinking water quality might be compromised by flooded sewage treatment centers. Companies say it could be days before power returns for many customers, and even then, damage assessments will only be starting. Connecticut Light and Power spokesman Alan Lehrer told WAMC News that the company is ready to get to work.
No restoration is perfect, but it is still very early, and we're just getting underway. We're very hopeful that we have learned some lessons from our previous restorations. For example, being able to get 1,000 line workers to complement our 400 CLMP line workers. And to have them here in advance of the storm, that will greatly facilitate the restoration.
Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin is set to update his state at 11 this morning during an address at the Vermont Emergency Operations Center in Waterbury. It seems the Green Mountain State is breathing a sigh of relief today. Despite some 35,000 power outages, the state apparently was spared a repeat of the destruction it suffered last year at the hands of Tropical Storm Irene. State workers in Massachusetts were expected back to work by 10 this morning, and state courts were reopening at noon. Many schools are still closed today, however, and the State Emergency Management Agency is sending out 31 rapid assessment teams to determine where the worst storm damage was and where to concentrate assistance. The storm also caused havoc in Maine, where there were some 86,000 outages this morning and high winds and rain forecast for today. In New Hampshire, state utilities were grappling with what were 200,000 outages at the height of the storm. Governor John Lynch has requested an emergency disaster declaration for the entire state. With the storm continuing on its path today, surely endangering the towns it passes through state by state, observers are already tallying the loss of life and damage across the eastern United States. Others are merely thanking good fortune after the storm let them be. No matter what happens today and tomorrow, getting back to normal is a daunting process that will take some time. Reporting for The Roundtable, I'm Ian Pickus, WAMC News.